Sounds good enough. We're on the pay them it off. 80A1. Stewie, welcome.
Okay.
Hi.
And without further ado, Hamashabed Sodala Chaveroi. So, you went ahead and set it aside as Achrayus. And then you go and you sell it. That's the best thing to do. You sell the property that you promised someone else. Mm-hmm. It's sold temporarily until it is collected. Because after all, if I pay off my debtor with money, he can't collect anything. So the guy who I sold it to will be able to keep it, no problem. Right? It's only if I can't pay off the debt, then the debtor is going to go and collect it. So until that time that he collects it, is it sold or is it not sold? So he says it's sold. Rabbi Yossi Amar, Eina Makor Lashon. Rabbi Yossi said, no, it's not sold. It's not sold. What's the nafkamina? So it says on the bottom, what happens is like this. Let's examine the money. Let's follow the money. So let's give names over here, okay? Reuven borrows money from Shimon. So Reuven owes money to Shimon, and Shimon has a shibud on his nechasim, right? Now Reuven sells the property to Levi. Levi is the buyer. Mm-hmm. Comes time for Shimon to collect Reuven's debt, and Reuven has no money. Where does Shimon go? He goes to Levi, takes away the property from Levi. What does Levi then do? Levi goes back to Reuven and says, give me back my money. Now, how do you view the money that Reuven held in the interim? Right?
You mean like a loan or not?
Is it like a loan or is it a purchase? So that's what these two Amorim are arguing about. Let's talk about the second one first. Reb Yossi says, Eino muhur l'sha. It's not sold for the time being. As long as this loan is not paid off, it's in limbo because he might come collect. And if he does come and collect, then when Levi goes back to Reuven to get his money back, it's like he's getting back the money he lent Reuven. And the nafkamina is going to be very major because the question is, can Levi eat the payros in the interim between the time that he purchased it from Reuven and the time that Shimon collected it? If you look at that money as if it's a loan, then it comes out that Levi gets back his money plus the payros that he ate in the interim, which means he's got, you know what?
Nothing.
Ribbis.
Oh, ribbis.
He's got ribbis.
Oh, yeah.
Because that money was a loan.
Oh, so he doesn't eat the fruit, because so that would make it ribbis.
So that's the question. How do we view that money in the interim period? Is it mechura or is it eina mechura? Rabbi Yossi says it's eina mechura, therefore it's like a loan and it would be interest.
You could collect back minus the value of what you
consume. Nah, well, that's not what it says here.
Does this have anything to do with
Sweden? No, nothing to do with it at all. Yeah. We're talking about Shibudim. We were talking about the previous page. So the Rabbi Yossi is based on this. Shor Motzi Hu Lavricho. An ox, it's common for him to cause it to elude the hands of the creditor, because after all, you can hide your ox, you could sell your ox, no one's going to find it, right? The sale is effective, it says over here. 3, if you designated your ox as an apoiteki, it's not secure because the ox can be concealed from the creditor, and therefore it's not considered in the creditor's possession.
Mm-hmm.
Before it never worked in the first place.
What?
It was never considered
a choice. Yeah, it's poor. It's a poor choice, right? Shor Motzi L'Avricha. But Sada, regarding a field, though, ain't a Motzi L'Avricha. You can't hide a field. You can't hide a field, and so therefore the sale is not effective at all. So this is Chaylei de Rabbi Yossi Menado would be like a svara, right? This Rabbi Yossi's svara is because of this reason. Haga Atzmacha, Let's consider this case. The Gemara says, what do you mean a field can't be held from a creditor? I have a case where a field can't be can be held from a creditor. Let's suppose I sell it to, you know, somebody from the Italian mob. You go try to collect from the Italian mob, right? Mm-hmm. Right? So if I sold, let's say Levy was a member of the mob, so now, you know, Shimon's not going to be able to collect from Levy too easily. So why is a field considered any better than a shore? That's the Gemara's question. So the Gemara says, Amar Abudin Avidurab Matanya, he gives a very interesting answer. Mitsuyne Bali Israel Lipol. It's common for the powerful to fall. You could take
it's not forever.
Being powerful is temporary, as we see in the news all the time, right?
What does that mean? That he'll fall.
It means that the creditor is not gonna give up. In other words, Yosi's svara was that you can't hide property, so therefore I'm simul on that property to collect. The Gemara's question was, well, what about if the guy's a very powerful guy? So you're not going to be able to collect. The Gemara's saying, Afal Pikein, you're just going to wait on the sidelines. Eventually, you will be able to collect because he's going to lose his power.
Uh-huh.
That's the idea. Okay. Tony, HaKaisav Sada Paitiki. Let's suppose you write a shtar designated a shfield as an apaitiki, li'isha b'ksubasa, it's for his wife or ksubo, l'machayv b'chayvi, or for a machayv, m'chora, and then he sold it, ha'reis m'chora, it's sold. V'ha'lokeyach yachush li'atzmo. But let the buyer beware, right? Let the buyer beware. Why should the buyer beware? Because what'd you buy? You bought an apaitiki. So if they're going to come and grab the field. Now, there's a very simple question here that he brings up here in footnote 7.
This is the reason there's a title search, in essence.
That's one of the reasons, yeah. Certainly is. Yeah, the main reason for a title search, correct me if I'm wrong, Stewie, you might know better. My understanding is to make sure that there are no liens on the property, so that if you buy it, you won't be surprised.
100%.
Correct? Yeah. Okay. So over here, the question here on this brisa is, that they ask is, what is the Gemara bringing up this thing, how Okeach Yochesh La'asmo by a poitiki? Isn't this true by any time you buy a field? If I buy a field, and you owe money, and there's a chryas that's pre-existing on the field, you could tell me the same thing. Because the debtor might come and collect the field. What's it all of a sudden getting involved over here? Like, oh, this case where it's an apaitiki. Why does it have to be a apaitiki? Any case of mafira sada where there's a pre-existing lien on the guy's property should be a lokeach yachash la'asmai. That's what he.
The pre-existing lien, aren't they the same thing?
A paitiki, the brisest case is a paitiki. A kaisiv soda leishtai, right? A kaisiv soda paitiki. It says the words. But it's true by any karka. Why are we bringing this up only by a paitiki? That's footnote 7 asks the question. Inside, for any purchaser of property upon which there's an ordinary lien, must take into consideration the possibility it'll be taken away by a creditor. Why does the brisest bring this up only when discussing a paitiki? So he says this issue has been raised by many Rishonim, and there are a number of possible solutions. One explanation by Ramban in Sefer HaZchus in Gittin 22a is the chiluk is like this. In a case of an ordinary lien, what is my real expectation as the one who lent you money? Shimon, who lent Reuven money, if it's a regular lien, what's his full expectation? Not to collect the property. His expectation is he's going to get paid cash the same way I lent you cash. In the event you can't afford to pay me the cash, I'll go after the property. So it's out of my kind of like radar, so to speak. I think that's what he's saying. The lender expects he'll pay cash. He will expend his efforts to secure payment in that form. In the case of an apaitiki, however, the creditor anticipates he will gain possession of the field. Yeah, please, wanna please you wanna please mute yourself, Stewie? Stewie, can you mute? I muted him. Okay. Yeah. Therefore, he will expend his efforts to secure payment in that form. In the case of an apaiteki, the creditor anticipates he will gain possession of the field. Thus, since he has his eye set on the property, the purchaser of the apaiteki is cautioned. There's a greater likelihood the property will be seized. So that's Ramban's solution, okay? It's a question of what your attitude is towards the property. Others explain what a creditor actually has greater rights to an apaiteki property than to a property included in an ordinary lien. Why? In an ordinary lien, the seller owned other properties which he subsequently sold to others. You collect from the last property he sold, right? So if Reuven borrowed money from Shimon. Reuven had 10 properties. And then he sold them one at a time over, let's say he had 10 properties, he sold them over a period of 10 weeks. Where does the creditor, where does Shimon go to collect from the property? Only one he can go to is the last. They're all sold. The last property. Because the second to last lokeach left over a makom ligvos temenu, right? He left a place for which Shimon could collect from.
That assumes that one field will pay the
debt. Yeah, I'm giving that. Let's assume that example, right? Mm-hmm. That the one field will be enough to satisfy the loan. Mm-hmm. So it'll be the last one. So the lakuchos, 1 through 9, don't have to be choshesh la'atzmon. Because they left properties available for him to collect from. They don't need to worry. By apotheke, not true. If buyer number one bought the apotheke field, the creditor could go right to the buyer number one and collect it.
Is there a downside to apotheke? I'm saying if the field is destroyed, is the person allowed to go to collect from another field?
I'm not prepared to answer the question. I don't know. I would say yes. Okay.
Hey, that door.
Is you a Shachianu or Machai Mason? Which bracha?
I'm still where we are.
Good enough. We are on 80A1. At the second paragraph, to the second last, the last paragraph now. Okay. Masnisa Pesham Malol Yehelocha Piron Mizu. The Bryce is talking about where you said to the wife, you'll have a right to collect from this field. He did not limit her right to the payment to the apotheke. So the sale is valid. Ma Pligin. Hold on. It'll become clear in the next line. Where are Rav Acha and Rabbi Yossi arguing? B'sha'amar lo, lo yehei loch piron el amizu. Meaning, that's what we mentioned yesterday, I don't know if you remember, we mentioned there's a explicit, what was it, exclusive. Exclusive apotheke and apotheke stam. So what we're saying here in the Gemara is that this machlokas, Rabbi Yossi, and what's the other name? Rav Acha, right? Rav Acha said it's sold temporarily. Rabbi Yossi says it's not sold temporarily. That machlokas is only where you said the words lo yehei lecha piron elamizu, that you're making it exclusive, right? But if it's not exclusive,
so then the apotheke does. Then he has 10 fields. It could be any of the 10 fields.
Yeah, in the case of a non-exclusive apotheke, the purchaser can pay off the creditor with cash, keep the property. The purchaser is therefore secure in his ownership of the property because he has the option of paying the debt and keeping the land. Okay, it's a little different. Here he's saying that the buyer could pay off the debt. Okay, so that's what it says over here.
Is it non-exclusive? Does it mean that there are other fields or there's cash or
It means that I have a choice. It means I have a choice that I can... Yeah, well, there's a choice both from the side of the debtor and from the size of the borrower as to how to pay off this loan.
But to follow up on what Rabbi O said, if he has a field and he has cash, can he go to the other field if one of them is an apotiki, a non-exclusive apotiki?
What are you mentioning cash for? I'm not sure I understand why the cash is involved.
Because you mentioned that he could pay cash.
Yes, that's always available. The option to pay cash is always available, even with an exclusive apotheke.
It is?
Of course, the debtor can pay off the loan. When I borrow money, Reuven can always pay off the $100 he borrowed from Shimon with cash. Then you don't have to get involved in any collection. Apotheke is a form of collection. It doesn't have to fault a collection if you don't default on the loan. It's a guarantee, that's all. If you're asking me if you have an exclusive apotheke, can the borrower say, I don't want you to take that land, I want you to take a different piece of land? No, absolutely not. The Malva has a right to take that piece of land. Yeah.
So what is, I'm trying to understand the difference between an exclusive and a non-exclusive.
The difference is, but based on what we're reading in this Gemara, that there was never a machlokas whether the sale is valid between Ravach and Rabbi Yossi if it was non-exclusive. Everybody would agree that the sale is valid.
The lady gets to keep the property.
Okay, that's the difference. Okay. Rav Amar Pogma Lo Zokva. So now, there's two things here. There's what's called being Pege Maksuba. Pege Maksuba is a person has a wife, he gives her a divorce, he owes her Masayim Zuz, and he doesn't have Masayim Zuz right away, he has 50 Zuz. So he gives her a 50 zuz payment. She accepts that as a partial payment of her ksuba. And he owes her 150. That's called pogma. Zokfa is where he doesn't have any money, but she converts the 200, the whole amount, into a loan. That's what the Gemara calls zokfa. Okay? So pogma lo zokfa. Ksuba is subject to cancellation by shvias, meaning that the Shvius is Meshamed it, if she accepted partial payment, even though she did not establish the balance upon her husband or his estate as a loan. Zokfa afabi shloi pogma, or if she established the entire Ksuba as a loan, even though she did not accept a partial payment, it'll also be converted to a loan, and therefore Shvius will be Meshamed it. Tani Rebchia, achetifko matizkov, that the ksuba doesn't become subject to the law of shvius unless she both accepts partial payment and establishes the balance as a loan. So we have this, you have to have two things. So in the footnote 12, A, that the woman has to accept a partial payment, and B, converted the balance into an ordinary loan. Then it's no longer, you can't say this is the ksuba debt, and therefore shvius will be mishamedet. Okay? It's a question of converting the original ksuba into a loan. How does that happen? So Rabbi Chiya holds you have to have two things to do that. He brings an interesting Shar Mishpat. In the bottom paragraph, he says, it emerges, according to this view, it's more difficult to establish a ksuba as a loan than to establish the debts of a shop credit or wages as a loan. Remember, we said yesterday, if you owed money to a shop, all you had to do was zakva lo v'milva, and then it would be mishamed it, remember? As long as you converted it into a loan.
So why is it...
And over here, by the ksuba...
Partial.
Ksuba, you have to collect partial.
Right, so I'm saying, if she collects partial, why does the rest turn into a loan as opposed to being...
Only if it's zokfa.
Right, but I'm saying
it doesn't automatically. That's what his kiddush is.
Hold on a second.
By the ksuba, as long as you're paying out the ksuba is the originating document.
Right.
And therefore, it's not going to be mashamed.
Right.
Okay.
So
it's only if it's converted.
So how would it be converted? Zakva
and pagva. Yes.
So that's what I'm saying. Why is partial payment convert it from a ksuba to a milveh?
It doesn't by itself. He says you have to have both. Right? That's what he's saying. It has to be ad shetifkom v'sizkof. You have to do both. You want to know why you have to do both?
No, I still don't understand how, with a store, you know, keeper or whatever. So
yeah.
It's not in a category of something special. This is a special situation, meaning ksuba is the obligation that the Baal has from the time that they got married to
right.
their 200 zoos.
Right.
So I'm saying the fact that he only had 50 out of the 200 and she does skifa,
yeah.
she's penalized.
Yes. She shouldn't do zakifa. If she has good advisors,
right, good,
advisor. don't do zakifa. Stick with, just attach a shover.
Right.
That's what she should do. Attach a receipt to the ksuba that says he paid you 50, but leave the ksuba intact. That would be the right thing to do so you don't lose it during Shemitah. Okay. Let's go to payment base. We're in the Mishnah, it said, the Rabbi Huda said it was sequential, right? So if you would buy something, that would be the outstanding debt. It would not be Meshamatit. You buy a second thing, then the first thing that you owe becomes a debt, and the second thing is not Meshamatit, but the first one, yes. Now, the Gemara is going to explain this. Because the shopkeeper extended credit a second time, the first one becomes a milva. What's going on over here? Now, the Gemara is going to now discuss, is quoting a piece from another Gemara, and it's sticking it here again. It's in 82. We'll see it again in 82. Okay, but the bottom line is, remember we had the case of, and we mentioned this theory, when you had the shopkeeper selling the meat on the first day Rosh Hashanah, right? So we said that if it turns out that it was a leap year, so come, it'll be Meshamadit. Remember we said that? So remember we also asked that L'chaira, it's a stira to the Mishnah, because the Mishnah said that if you owe a shopkeeper money, that it's not Meshamadit. So how come it says that the shopkeeper is Meshamadit? What's going on over here, right? That we asked that stira. So, the Gemara is going to refer to that question, and the Gemara answers that question in its first statement. Omar of Lazar de Reb Yehudi. That's following the view of Reb Yehuda, which means Reb Yehuda, who says in our Mishnah that whenever you sell something a second time, the first
Great.
One becomes a loan. And therefore, we're going to be talking about a Hechetimsa. What we're doing here is we're changing the case of the meat on the first day Rosh Hashanah to a Hechetimsa. What's the Hechetimsa? That they sold him the meat first, and then he sold him some follow-up paper plates, let's say. Paper plates, you know about paper plates. He sells the paper plates so you can eat the meat on it, on Yom Tov. So because it's a second sale, contra Yehuda, the first sale becomes a loan. That's what the Gemara wanted to say. So it's the same, it's the Reb Yehuda of our Mishnah is going to be the reason. So the Gemara says, Vori Lutava Barash Hashanah. But can you demand payment on Rosh Hashanah? You can't demand payment on Rosh Hashanah. You can't get paid on Rosh Hashanah. It says, V'davar davar, he brings over here on the bottom, right? Number three. V'davar davar, you can't to deal with transactions on Yom Tov, on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So if you can't demand payment, again, this is another reason why it shouldn't be Lo Yigos Israel V'yasachib. The only time Shemitah is Meshamet is when it's Shayach Lo Yigos, but over here it's not possible Hagosha, right? So my answer is Rabba B'Shem Rab Zera Mikimin Shu Roy Lahaminoi Roy Lo Toivai. Since the buyer is fit for the seller to trust, so it's considered as if it's fitting for him to demand payment from him. So what does this mean? So he trusted him because he gave him meat on credit. Number six. One person does not normally trust another unless he can eventually demand payment. Therefore, even though this debt cannot actually be collected on Yom Tov, the fact that he trusts him enables us to view this as a collectible debt regarding which the creditor can demand payment. So then it's subject to the prohibition of Lo-Yigos. It's kind of, I don't exactly know how to be mazmer this clearly. I'm sorry, I shouldn't say that I don't know how to be mazmer. I know how to, but I'm not going to tell you. okay.
I feel sorry for the poor butcher.
Why do you feel sorry for him?
Look, you're coming to me and you need meat today. Yeah. You cook it today.
Yeah.
And I'm say okay, and you'll pay me after Yontif.
Yeah.
And after Yontif you say, nah, it was canceled. Ha ha.
You feel bad for him, huh?
Yeah, because
it's terrible.
Yeah. It's like the poor wife who turned it into a loan.
I hear.
The guy tricked her.
I hear. Okay. So now, so that's the end of that Gemara that talks about the stira. Now we're going to come back to the question now that we had with what's going on with Rabbi Yehuda. So the Khan, see here too, in other words, we're coming back to the question we asked. Rabbi Yehuda, just because you gave him credit a second time, the first one becomes a loan? What's shot in that? So he says, Khan, here too. Hoyol v'roi litin loy mois v'loy nasan. It was fit for him to give money for the earlier purchase, and he didn't give it. Nasis rishoyna milva, the first purchase becomes a loan.
What do you mean it was fit?
Ask the Baal Makol it. They'll tell you how many times he does akafa.
What is akafa?
You know, he writes it down, and you pay it, you know, at the end of the month.
So it sounds like, right, in footnote 8, the seller normally requires the purchaser to first clear his account before extending credit a second time. Right? But I didn't. I extended you credit another time. Right? It's rare, right, if you borrow money from me today. And tomorrow you're going to borrow more money from me. Usually I'll say, pay back the first loan, then we can talk about a second loan.
That's in a mill of it. But kafa is totally normal. It's
totally normal, right?
Totally normal.
Totally normal. So anyway, but that seems to be Rabbi Yehuda, the way he views it. Rabbi Yehuda's viewing, once you buy one thing, when you buy a second thing, the first thing gets converted to, we view it as a loan. In other words, at first when you buy it, it's hakafa. It's like store credit. But when you buy a second item, then the first item gets converted into a loan. That's what the idea here is. That's what it means. He was fit. It means in a normal case of a loan, you would have normally had to pay it off first. But you didn't. So the first one becomes a loan. That's how the Gemara seems to be. Masber Rabbi Yehuda. Let's see. It looks like there's an advisor. I didn't look at it inside. Let's look at it inside together. We have time? We're almost out of time. No, you can hang around if you want, Zvi, but that's it for tonight. Pirish, let's look at the advice.
I'm reading
the advice. Hoyo, v'roi litin loy mois, v'loy nasa, loy nasa, sorry, shonim ilva. You see, it says in the advice, v'kan. You got it?
The last one.
Pirish, the ish shehu roi lahaminoi, Ein sarech roi l'toivai, el de roi liting ba'atzmai b'loy tfiyah. In other words, if you're really a trustworthy person, I shouldn't have to go after you for the money. You'll come for it on your own. V'karina lo yigos, tu noges b'atzmo liting. I'm not going to have to go ask you for the money. You're going to give it yourself. Lo b'ina negisa l'tova, lo negisa liting. V'roi l'toivai, v'roi liting hakol echad hu. V'rosh Hashanah have a ki'ilu roi litein afal pi she'enu roi litein neitru hu yomtov. So on Rosh Hashanah, it's roi litein, even though I can't go after the money because it's yomtov. But mikol makom have a ki'ilu roi litein iloi ha'yu yomtov. Aken karina lo yigos. Meaning, you as an individual could have come forward on your own and said, okay, here's I don't know if you can give money, But, I mean, you could give back an item. I mean, if I borrowed a sefer from you, I would certainly give you back the sefer on Yom Tov. I'm not sure exactly. He's making a big deal out of this, whether I'm going after it or whether you're going to give it. He seems to feel that you could give it without being munned. Even though etzem you can't give it because you can't move money because it's mutza. If that's the case, then all right. The same thing's by the store. The derech lahakif b'chanos v'likboitz ad sach mamon. That by a store, the Rambam says, that it is the normal way to build up a bill until a certain large amount for oz yishalim, and then you pay off that large amount. Ad kam l'shoyna. Mikomokim afagav dein roi l'tvaya isa, even though you don't normally mund that amount, mikomokim kishamakif pam shniya roi l'tein mi'atzmai. But the guy himself should give it. Roi l'tein have a k'roi l'tvaya. Since he could give it, so it seems that it's something I could, in theory, go after the money also. If it's really in line, it's roi that you should really give me the money, even though I won't ask you for the money. I'm roi to ask you for the money. So therefore, it's called lo yigos. All right, this is what he's trying to say. What can I say?
You need a good attorney if you're doing something. That's all.
Go to a supermarket.
Okay, that's it.